This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا وسيدنا وحبيبنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. اللهم لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما يا رب العالمين. اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه. والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. I want to talk to you today a little bit about how we perceive not only certain events but the world as a whole. You see, all of us, we come from different backgrounds, we come from different life experiences, we lead our own lives. And subhanAllah, you can look at someone and you can try to make a judgment about what their life is all about, but we truly never really know what a person has really been through. Even if we have been there with them physically, we don't know what was happening in their heart when they were experiencing something. So we all have our own perspective. And in reality, when we compare our perspective to the wisdom and the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, without a doubt, we have to admit that not only are we limited, we are extremely limited. You see, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one of His names is Al-Basir, the All-Seeing. And of course, the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is fitting of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And yes, we have sight as well, but our sight is limited to us. Allah is Al-Hakim. Allah is all-wise. The wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we can try to understand it. We can try to see part of it, but we will never truly understand what is happening in the world around us. And even on a personal level, we may never truly, at least in this life, truly understand the wisdom behind what is taking place. And sometimes it may be small things happening in our life and we think we get it. We think we understand, we think we know exactly why something is happening, but we may be wrong, or we may be limited. We may only know a small portion of what is happening. And all we have to do, subhanAllah, is look at history and look at how events were perceived in the moment versus how something was perceived later. And sometimes, subhanAllah, and this is so telling for us, something happens and those who are there present in that moment, they have a certain outlook on what is happening. And then it's not 5 years or 10 years later, but it's possibly hundreds of years later that we begin to see the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in why something is happening. And so when we think about suffering, whether it be the suffering of others or whether it be our own suffering, yes, it is normal to feel like we don't understand why it's happening. It is normal to say, why me? Why is this happening to me? And that is a completely human thing to feel. Because yes, we are limited in our understanding. But as a Muslim, as a person of faith, the next step is very important. And that is that even though we don't fully understand or we don't properly understand why something is happening, do we attribute what is happening to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or not? And that is the question which differentiates someone who has faith and someone who is just going along with what is happening. Because you know, the reality is, every single human being is tested by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every single human being goes through difficulty and hardship. It doesn't matter how privileged a person may feel their life is. It doesn't matter how much wealth and prosperity and seemingly comfortable lives that we live, the reality is that we will be tested in one way or the other. The question is, are we tested with difficulty or are we tested with ease? And you know what? I was speaking to a brother who's going through a difficult time, and I tried to convey to him this very idea and this very point. That I said to him, I understand that you're going through a difficult time. But you have to understand that you're not looking at the complete picture. And you know what he said to me? He said, that's easy for you to say. You don't know what I'm going through. And I told him, you're right and you're also wrong. You're right in saying that I don't truly understand what you're going through. I'm not going through what you're going through, so I cannot 100% empathize with the way that you're feeling. You're right in that. But you're wrong in saying that it is easy for me to say what I'm saying. Because wallahi, I fear for myself because I am not going through that test. So the question that I must ask myself is, if you are going through this difficulty, then what is my test that is equivalent to that difficulty? So when we look at our brothers and sisters suffering around the world and we think to ourselves, how is that fair? The question that we should be asking ourselves is, how does my test match up? Is my test a test of ease? Has Allah given me resources, given me comfort, given me ease, given me wealth, given me abilities that I will be held to account for? Because we are all tested. And there's no difference in the severity of our test. But the type of test may differ. And that is why the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, they would be more afraid of tests of ease than the tests of difficulty. Because they would say, when a difficulty comes upon us, we can see it. We can recognize it. We know it's difficult. And we know that in this moment, we have to be patient. But what happens in a test of ease? What happens when we're living comfortable lives? What happens when we look at other people suffering and we're not suffering? Do we understand that that is also a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Or does that lead us to transgress? You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us of one of the main reasons why human beings may transgress. Kalla innal insana layatagha arra'ahu staghna. Allah says, no, surely a person transgresses because they see themselves as being self-sufficient. What happens in times of ease? What happens in times of comfort? We forget. And there's people who live their lives and they don't even feel that they need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why a person may go days, months, without reaching out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yet, a person who is going through a difficulty, a person who is going through a hardship, a person who is suffering, may be calling out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with every single breath that they have. And that is why, my brothers and sisters, we have to be very careful when talking about tests and talking about suffering. Because we cannot judge the test. We cannot judge what is really happening. What is upon us is to try our best to recognize the test that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put us through. You know, something which is very interesting, if we look at the life of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the type of test that Allah put him through, it is very telling for us. You know, Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she once asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, after going through the battle of Uhud, which is a very, very difficult day for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That was a day in which the Prophet ﷺ was attacked, he was physically hurt, he was bleeding, and it was a difficult day. So Aisha radiallahu anha, she asked the Prophet ﷺ, she said, have you experienced a day more difficult than the day of Uhud? And the Prophet ﷺ, he said, لَقِيتُ مَا لَقِيتُ مِنْ قَوْمِكَ يَا Aisha, يَا Aisha. He said, I have faced what I have faced from your people, O Aisha, meaning I have had test after test after test. I have faced hardship after hardship after hardship. It's not just one hardship. There is so many. And then he said, أَشَدُّ مَا لَقِيتُ. He said, the most difficult thing, the most severe thing that I faced, he said, it was يوم العقبة. Which what he was referring to was the day when he went to go deliver the message of Islam to the people of Ta'if. And this is in the beginning of Islam, when the Prophet ﷺ did not see any response from Mecca. Rather, all he saw in his own city was hatred and persecution. And so he turned to Ta'if, another city in which he had hoped that that city would show him some support. That city would show him some compassion when his own city had turned him away. And he went to Ta'if with very high hopes. But what happened when he went to Ta'if? We know the story. We know how he was immediately rejected. And not only did they reject him, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And by the way, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he went to Ta'if, he went alone. He had no one. He walked to Ta'if because he didn't want the people of Mecca to know that he was perhaps leaving the city of Mecca. So he went in secrecy. And can you imagine walking and traveling for hours and hours and hours and hours and hours, and the whole time that he is traveling, he is hoping that perhaps they will respond to him. Perhaps they will show him some warmth. Perhaps they will give him some comfort, even if they don't accept the message of Islam. Perhaps they will give him some support. And after that long journey, he arrives by himself, he goes to the leaders of Ta'if, and they reject the message, and they reject him. And not only do they reject him, they mock him, and they make fun of him. And they get the children, and they get the young folk to go out in the streets and chase him out of the city with rocks and stones. And he's being run, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, run out of the city. And they're stoning him, pelting him with rocks. And they are yelling at him, they are mocking him, they are cursing him, they are making fun of him. And the Prophet ﷺ is run out of the city. And you can imagine the emotional state the Prophet ﷺ is in at this point. You can imagine what he is feeling. He is emotionally hurt. He is physically hurt. He was bleeding, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, to the point where the narration mentions that blood had pooled up in his shoes. And it began to dry in his shoes, so it was even hard for him to walk, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And in those moments of difficulty, he walked and walked and walked and walked and kept walking until he, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, himself, he tells us that at a certain point, I was shaded by a cloud. And I looked up in the cloud and I saw the angel Jibreel. And Jibreel said to me, "O Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Allah has heard the message that you have delivered, and Allah has heard the response that they gave to you. And so I am sending to you the angel of the mountains, and you command him whatever you want to command." And the angel of the mountains comes to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and says, "We know what has happened, so just give the command. And if you want, I will raise up the two mountains and destroy the city." And subhanAllah, in that moment of pain and suffering and difficulty, wallahi, how would we have responded? You know, when we are hurt, we are more likely to hurt other people. That is why when someone yells at us, we're likely to yell back at them. In that moment where our emotions and feelings are very strong, we usually act out. But how was the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam? He said no. He said bal. He said no. He said perhaps Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it that from their progeny there will be those ya'budun Allah mukhlisina lahu ad-din, that they worship Allah with sincerity in their religion. Perhaps there will be those from their offspring. We cannot destroy them. We cannot harm them. Because maybe there's something that I'm not seeing here. And this is the most difficult, the Prophet ﷺ said, the most difficult day that I have ever experienced. And the Prophet ﷺ said, "Leave them. Because perhaps there is something that I'm not seeing." And what does history tell us? History tells us that not just a few people, but the whole city accepted Islam. They came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and the whole city took their shahada. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We have the story, my brothers and sisters, in the life of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That was the Prophet. What about the companions? We have the story of the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, Sulh Hudaybiyah. What happened? You know, the Muslims, they were hopeful. They left the city of Medina. They were hopeful to go back and return to their home of Mecca. And the Prophet ﷺ had told them that you will make Umrah. And they had traveled from Medina all the way to Mecca to come make Umrah. There were approximately 14 to 1500 companions who had come with the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. And they camped outside Mecca for days and days and days and days. And some narrations mention that they were all prepared. They were all prepared to come make Umrah. They had brought with them their sacrifice. Some narrations mention over 1,000 animals they had brought with them for sacrifice. And they wait, and they wait. And at one point, they give bay'ah to the Prophet ﷺ, what is known as bay'ah to Ridwan. 1,400 companions give bay'ah to the Prophet ﷺ. They're ready. And they say, O Messenger of Allah, whatever it takes for us to make Umrah this year. And then the treaty occurs, Sulh Hudaybiyah. And what happens in the treaty? Well, from the perspective of the companions, it was an utter loss. Because part of that treaty said, you will not make Umrah this year, go home. You have come, over 1,000 of you, you have prepared and you have traveled and you have brought your animals and so on and so forth. You know what? Turn around and go home. You're not making Umrah this year. On top of that, part of that treaty also stated that if there's a Muslim who escapes or leaves Mecca to seek refuge with the Muslims, then the Prophet ﷺ and the companions have to return those Muslims. And as the treaty is being signed, one of the companions, Abu Jandal radiallahu ta'ala an, he had just broken free of his shackles and he had run to the Muslims. He had run because he heard they are camped right outside Mecca. He didn't have the ability, by the way, to run all the way to Medina on his own. But it just so happened that the Muslims were there. He broke out of his captivity. He broke away from his torture. And he comes, and as he comes, the treaty is being signed. And according to the treaty, Abu Jandal has to be returned to his abusers, to his torturers and tormentors. And so when the treaty is signed, the companions don't understand what has happened. Umar radiallahu anhu, for example, even questioned the Prophet ﷺ. And he said, explain to me what is happening. Explain to me how this is okay. Explain to me how we were ready. We took the bay'ah. We were ready to fight with our lives. We were ready to give our lives to make Umrah this year. And it was a very difficult time for the Muslims because they feel like they had lost. And then the Prophet ﷺ, it was revealed to him, the ayat, and he went to Umar and he said, "Inna fatahna laka fatham mubina." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals Surah Fath. "Inna fatahna laka fatham mubina." Allah says, certainly we have given you a great victory. And Umar radiallahu an, in that moment of frustration and anger, when he hears this ayah, you know what he says? He says, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, inna fatahna laka fatham mubina. He is so happy and he's joyous. He's bursting with happiness. Well, what changed here? A moment ago, the treaty hasn't changed. Why one moment he is upset and angry and he doesn't understand what's happening, and in the next moment he becomes extremely delighted? Well, what happened is the ayah was revealed. And now Umar radiallahu an, it all clicked for him. He understood that this is because of the qadr of Allah. That this treaty is what Allah has commanded the Prophet ﷺ to do. And so he still doesn't understand the wisdom. But he knows if it is from Allah, it has to be good. It feels like a loss. It feels like we are allowing. And that's what Umar was feeling. Are we going to allow our brothers and sisters to suffer? Are we going to return the Muslims back to those who are abusing them? Are we going to allow that to happen? But when he understood it is from Allah, he was happy. He knew that there must be something that he's not seeing because this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what does history tell us? History tells us that indeed that was a great victory. Because 2 years, just two short years later, what happened? 1,400 people were at Bay'atul Ridwan, 1,400 people. 2 years later, how many companions come with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for Fath Mecca, for the opening of Mecca, for the conquest of Mecca? 1,500, we would think, well, maybe it doubles. Maybe it triples. But it was 10,000 companions that came with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In those 2 years, because of that peace treaty, Muslims were able to trade with other people. They were able to have interactions with other people. And just by meeting other people in other nations, people came to Islam in droves. And that is why we see the difference in the ummah going from 1,500 to 10,000 people. And the rest is history. We know how that was a great victory for the Muslims, even if they did not understand it in that moment. So my brothers and sisters, the reality is that our perspective may be limited. We don't have knowledge. Wallahi, we don't even have knowledge of the next day. We don't even know what's going to happen tomorrow. How can we try and understand what's going to happen 10 years or 100 years from now? Yes, it is painful. And as I told my brother earlier, you're right, I don't understand. But don't for a moment think that when you hear someone come and say, this is from the wisdom of Allah, that is an easy statement to make. Because that means that we are part of that situation. We are part of the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَحَسِبَ النَّاسُ أَن يُتْرَكُوا أَن يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ. That do the people think they will be left alone simply because they say we believe and they will not be tested? وَلَقَدْ فَتَنَّا الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ. Certainly we tested those who came before them. Just look at your history. Just look at the history of Muslims. Over and over and over again, we see calamity after calamity after calamity. But if we give it time, then we understand just a little bit. Just a little bit from the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We understand just a little bit of the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so likewise, when we ask ourselves, why me? Yes, that is a fair question. Yes, it is okay to feel that way. But also we have to understand that this is part of the plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is part of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed for us. And maybe, my brothers and sisters, maybe in this life, we don't understand. But if we trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then at the very least, and even though it feels wrong saying at the very least, but at the very least, in the akhirah, we will understand. Because we don't know. Wallahi, we don't know. We look at our brothers and sisters and we think we know, but we don't know. We would imagine, just take one example, and I'll end with this, inshallah ta'ala. Our brothers and sisters in Burma who are being persecuted, why? They're being persecuted for their faith. And we would think that if somebody is being persecuted for their faith, they're suffering and they're going through difficulty. They're literally being killed off. It's a literal genocide. We would think that people would leave their faith. We would think that people would walk away. But go ask what is happening there. How are the Muslims there behaving? This has been a reason for them to hold on to their faith. And their faith now is stronger than it has ever been. And that is a lesson for us. Likewise for us, even though it wasn't nearly close to the trials that our brothers and sisters over there are going through, but 9/11, you know, we keep talking about 9/11. I think we should keep talking about 9/11 because there are lessons in our history. What happened after 9/11? We would think that because of that, because of that huge calamity that came upon the Muslims, because now the whole ummah now had to answer for the actions of a few individuals. Now every single Muslim was held accountable for the actions of a few individuals. We would think that people would distance themselves from Islam. We would think that people would leave Islam. We would think that people wouldn't want to identify as Muslims. But the vast majority of people went in the other direction. People strengthened their faith. They learned their faith. They educated themselves. And how many people came to Islam because of 9/11? And so how dare we call that a pure calamity? In hindsight, for the Muslims, yes, it was a difficult time, but also it was a way for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to strengthen our ummah. It is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it was an opportunity for us to be raised in status. And that's it. We were challenged, right? We either step up to the plate and we hold on to our faith, we learn our faith, we teach our faith, and we stand up for that which is right, or we let it go. And those who stood up, those who held on, without a doubt, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raised their status. And that truthfulness of the Prophet ﷺ came to light, where the Prophet ﷺ said that if Allah loves someone, Allah tests them. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us recognize our tests as tests, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk, wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.